Hey there, Outliers. Miyama Shang here, and welcome to the Outliers Edge podcast. So we are actually here with Anka Herman, and we are continuing our conversation. If you haven't listened to part one of the conversation, please pause, go back and listen to it because we got a chance to go into more into depth on who she is, how she shows up in the world, and how it's like really this underlying component of being able to create we talked about like a golden thread that goes underneath everything that you do, so that even when it looks to other people as though you're off in many different directions, you can like be confident and solid and steadfast in knowing that you're only ever doing the same things. It just may not look the same way to other people. So it was an incredibly enriching conversation. I recommend you go and listen to that right now. We're gonna go off now and spend some time really exploring the uncharted together, taking on something that we are still growing in, because that's the reality of us as outliers, right? We're creating something out of nothing, and we're walking paths that people haven't walked before, or at least we haven't walked before. And I want to make sure that we get some time to actually demonstrate that in real time here. All right. So Anka, welcome back. Thank you for being open to playing in this space here. I have no clue what's going to happen here.
That's the fun part.
Yes, I think I like to create more space for us here, so that because I think you and I can have like a lot of fun, and I want to give us as much space as possible to have like joyful fun while being intense, if you're good with it, right? So however the conversation goes, I'm going to make a couple agreements with you. The first one is that I'm going to hide nothing to hold nothing back. Are you good with that?
Sure.
Sure is hard for me. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, awesome. The second one is that like I want service to be on the table, so I'm gonna make sure that no matter what, like I don't step into pleasing. I say I serve. I'm here to serve rather than please. Are you good with that?
Yes.
All right. And then the third one is like, however this conversation goes, life changing is on the table for me. Like I only have life changing conversations. So are you open to this being a life changing conversation?
Yes.
All right, awesome. So I don't know where it's gonna go, but I wanted to like just I find like that allows me to just like have just more room to just play and create more space for there. So Anka, I like to toss it to you. We spoke a little bit beforehand. You said there were some things that you were curious about. So why don't I toss it over to you? Take us down your curiosity path, and then we'll play in it. We'll just see how it is so we can just continue to experience the transformation. Sound good to you? All right.
Yeah, no,
And
thank you. Thank you.
toast.
Thanks for having me, and
Yeah.
thanks for creating the space to play, because yeah, there's no better place to be, really. I'm curious because you dropped sort of a couple of times, you've got that maths background and so that very structured mind. So how does your outlier being show up? And what's your golden thread?
Yeah. So, all right, I'll answer them in two different ways. I'll talk about like the outlier being when it comes to the math, like the so you talk about software development, and I think that for me, I see things in terms of I know where I go with this. When I was growing up, my math teacher, Miss Mack, she said there's more than one way to get to the Cherry Hill Mall, right? I grew up in South Jersey. So there's more than one way to get to the Cherry Hill Mall, and like there's like it's been decades, but I've never really forgot that, where it's like the way that math can be done, like you want to get to the number two, there's infinite number of ways to get to the number two in an equation, and I think that for me, on like when I look at stuff, I'm like, all right, it doesn't really matter how we get there. There are many different ways to make it come to life. More practically though, in the last 12 months or so, things with math and my business and the way I think about things like took a drastic shift. So, math major, econ major, went to do retirement actuarial consulting. Like to this day, Anka, I still haven't like met someone who like can whip out like an Excel and know more or do more than I would like, and I haven't touched Excel really in years, right? So I did that for took actuarial exams, like all that, and got into macros. So I did a little bit of like programming, some like in college, and then I got into like macros in over there. And I think that was one of that actually ends up being like a component of how I think that keeps coming in, which is like I automate things now because I know, like, I'm like, I know what it's like to create up front, do like a lot of the front loading the work, and then from then on, being able to push a button and walk away, you know?
Yes.
And that to me, I'm big on that. I'm big on that. So that shows up in one way. The other thing that came up was, and this is what like it tossed me for a loop last year. I read a book and it was just talking about the cost to acquire a customer. It's like if you want to just be successful, the cost to acquire a customer must be less than the average order value or the lifetime value of it. Like this is a very simple equation. It's like just as long as this happens, your business will continue to grow, you know? And there was something in it, Anka, that threw me like hard because I was like, I've been doing this for years and I have never considered that, you know, like never considered it explicitly, that equation, you know, or that relation. And I realized that like I had actually compartmentalized my actuarial days and said, well, that's not needed for coaching. That's not needed to be able to be an outlier. That's not needed for this. Yes, I'll use Excel, but like just enough to make sure that other people on my team don't get like freaked out, you know, like those, but my clients that like, you know. Rather than creating, like using that process-oriented mind that says I could just replace the variable and create things that would allow that to come in. So, it was really wild to me where I'm like, this is a very simple like relation. Like cost to acquire must be less than the average order value, and I missed it. You know, I feel like I was just applying myself, like going out into the world. Doing things without trying, without being like, there's a relationship here that you're ignoring, and keep doing things. But how do you know when it will all end if you're not being mindful of that? And if you're not being mindful of something this simple, what else are you not doing? And you, the last thing I'll say is, I'm like, you, Niyama, you're good with math. You're not afraid of math. My mental math has gone down. I don't spend as much time doing it. I go to the calculator way too often. But the thought was, if I've been pushing this away here, I just wonder what it's like for people who like eyes glaze over as soon as you say the word plus. They're like, but get me out. Yeah. Does that answer the question? I know I talked for a while, so I
No,
might have missed it.
totally. And it's interesting what that brings up for me. It,
What
how,
does it bring up?
like you said it, and I'm like, oh boy. It sounds like that, like, you know, that when that coaching and like a sort of kind of, let's call it a relationship or conversation business, it's so easy to not look at it as a real business. Right? Because I remember the first time, you know, the first thing I did, especially, I mean, even with my sewing business, like, oh, business plan, oh, nah, I don't, like, no way. You know, it was like, I didn't, you know, like, I think that it's sort of the flip side of just sort of following the flow as well, is to kind of, let's just like not really look at it as a business. Right? And with that thing, like, yeah, oh, actually, no, I certainly did not think of cost of acquiring, like, no, I didn't think of that either. Right. And I think for me, what showed up with it is like I built myself a relentless hamster wheel when I had my sewing business. Right. So that sense of like, oh, you know, when, and I think it's something that I quite often actually stumble or like come up against, where I'm slowly finding my way out of it. It's this, you know, when I get into something, I get into because I love doing the thing, right? And even one of the reasons I left the software industry. I love programming. I love the process of creation, of taking somebody's idea, well, we need a tool to help us with this, and I'm like, ooh, and now let's create this. When it got to the point that, oh no, all this stuff needs to be outsourced and we want you to be the project manager, oh no, I'm not interested in that. Right? So there's always that sense of, okay, either you have a hamster wheel because you do it all, because you love doing it, and you don't even notice it's going to be a hamster wheel until you're kind of running so fast that you can't jump off, or you feel yourself cornered in a role that isn't really what you want to do. You know, like, and I had it in the sewing business, was extreme, because I'm like, I started this because I love making, I love the creative process. I want to sit here and manage people doing the thing I would love doing, you know? And that's something that keeps, you know, so I think now I feel like, yeah, you know, sort of started to actually have some people to hand stuff over. But that's always, it's always, you know, I had a long time that was just like, yeah, but if it's quicker for me to just do it, you know, like that is not, that's, that does not come easy to me, you know. And so it feels, I don't know, I'd love to hear whether that's something that you're familiar with. But, you know, that sense when you actually love doing the thing, I can hand over stuff I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. Say, for example, podcast editing is an example.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it. Right? You know, my rational mind goes, that's not a good use of your time. So you need to hand that over. But I find that quite hard when I actually enjoy doing the thing. Right.
Well, yeah. What's come for me right now is, so I'm playing, like, there's been a shift that's been happening, and what you just described, I actually think back to what you were talking about with the process that you had with like basically design thinking and like being able to create, like I'm always doing that. I'm starting to find myself applying that, like my version of that, to what needs to get done and delegation and so forth. So let me make this real. So what occurred, one of the shifts that happened once I started looking at the numbers of things was that, like, I just didn't think what I was doing was that good. You know, it was different. So it was getting me somewhere, you know, but in terms of like, was it like, did I, was it robust enough, or how big of a, like, did I lay a good enough foundation, so on and so forth. And what's been really interesting for me is I used to be, I still am, but I'm like very big on like, I'd rather you be the only than be the best. And like, and then like, what I think has been happening now has been like, what if I was the only and it was the best, you know, like not just different, but also like just spot on awesome. And so like, I think what I'm getting at here is that's been a shift, right? Because I've been like, I want to just keep jumping to new things and do different things. And what I've been finding is I've been my thing that I love is to take things that people haven't done and to like just keep expanding what people think is possible, you know. My thing that I love is to like keep finding ways to like challenge myself and to take on something new, but to play it out in a different way. So now I'm applying that in like to say, okay, how great of a process can I make this, right? How can I make sure that like, how can I actually use my creativity in the system that I'm creating to just make that one system better and like be like 1,000 times better than anyone else's experience, rather than having like 100 different things that are like, you know, that you get what I'm saying, like the race, yeah. The math doesn't work, like, you know, I'm like, so I'm finding that as the approach.
That's fascinating. You know what reminds me, I had Matt Johnson on the podcast, and his whole thing, I mean, I haven't spoken to him in a while, I don't know where he's at now, but his book and his podcast, everything was about micro famous, right? And he was about extreme niching, like literally, like, yeah, you want to niche so far that you're the only one. And my little creative mind was like, like when he was talking and explaining that, I could sense the resistance coming up. It's like, oh, no, I can't possibly. Because he started out like doing podcast production for people or something like that. You know, like, out of all the things he loves doing, that was the one thing. And then he only had one offer. And it's just what you're saying. Like, it was so slick. And it was like, there is one audience, one problem, one solution, super tight, right? I could feel it. He was laughing because I was like, my creative mind goes like, oh, no.
So
no. Having that, we get bored. And you know what he said to me?
Yeah.
He said, stop it. He says, you scratch your creative itch by going deep. And that's exactly what I heard you just say.
That's,
you know,
that's
when
it.
When you don't have to do 50 million things. And I was like, oh, that I get, right? That I get when you get creative in the intricacies of the thing, but it's narrow, right? And so that was the first time I actually understood that. I understood the beauty of that and how much space for creativity there is in that, even if the solution or the problem or the niche, whatever, is like super tight.
Well, this is the thing, like, cause I'm sitting here, I'm like, that's, it's like, it feels different from what you like the way you go about things, which is like it's the same process, right? And I think that's it. Like it's the same, like I'm doing the same thing, only
Yes.
like I believe in return on investment, right? So like, and I believe in let's use the math, since we're talking math and economics here, I believe in the power of compounded, right? Compounded interest, right? And it's like, and what I was realizing was that I was doing like I was doing addition beforehand. Everything I did was its own separate island that would that
Yeah.
like when added up came to something. However, like now I feel like I'm doing work where like I'm entering into the world of exponentials, and they're small exponentials. You know, it's like, you know, 1.01, you know, something to the 1.01 power, you know, 1.012, you know, like it's not massive, but like I'm building, it's becoming 1% better and compounded upon itself in a way that that wasn't being done before. So what was getting like the element for me was like applying the creativity toward the problems, like just like the same set of problems. And I guess what was the disconnect for me and for right here was that like you already walked us through how like when at something at its core can actually be applied everywhere. So as much as you're saying it's like super hyper niche and narrow, I'm like, but like you also helped me see like it actually applies to
But the
everything.
funny thing was, like when he, I mean, admittedly, that conversation about 4 years ago, you know, but I
Yeah.
remember the resistance, like where I was
Yeah.
like, yeah, but I don't, I'm gonna get bored.
Fair.
I'm like, oh no, I don't.
Yeah, no, super
You
fair.
know, if
Like,
you look at it like that, and it was just like this whole eye-opener, you know,
I
because
yeah.
I would always resist this. Oh, you do one thing and you know, you do it really. I mean, I kind of get, yeah, but it was just like the way he said it. You scratch your creative itch by going deep, that landed like, oh, I can really feel that. You know, I can
I feel you on
totally
that.
see that.
'Cause 2 years ago, I would not, I would be, I wouldn't, I don't even know if I can listen to myself right now, right? Like, and this is the thing that's interesting, right? It's like, there's times where I don't even recognize the person I show up as now because I'm like, oh my, that shift is taking place. And, oh, okay, Anka, right now we're gonna have to, with the, like end here, and I make it a point with this kind of conversation where I'm like, there's no need to have any like huge ahas or anything like that. Like, I just want to be in space of us being in exploration. Can I share with you the insights that I got from this conversation? And if you can share
Oh,
with
I'd
me
love you
yours, and
to,
then
yeah.
we'll end it from there. Okay. The insight that I have here is one, I like to play, you know, so it's fun for me to be in like the like on this side here where someone's looking to pull out more and see some things. That's one of the insights I had here. And the other insight that I have is like just like I can feel like the a level of not this, yeah, I think I'm at a place of maybe acceptance. I think a part of me felt shamed that like in the last year I wasn't outwardly creative. A part of me felt shame that like with what I have been doing with the business beforehand felt like I'm like, how did I not know some like the basics, you know? How was I not applying that? How did I like all those things? But as we're talking here, I feel myself like in a space of like acceptance around it. And I get really excited for when we get to like the next level, which is like, oh, like the strength that has come because of that experience, you know? I'm still working my way towards it, but I really do feel like in the way that I'm answering it, I'm like, I feel really solid, you know? And that was not necessarily how I was feeling beforehand. So I want to thank you for that. Do you have any insights that you'd like to share from like anything in our conversation today?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like how much I enjoy that kind of open, you know, just sharing and bouncing off each other. I think that's, yeah, I think it feels like it's the kind of conversation that I'm gonna be out with the dog tomorrow and something will pop to me. You know, like it's kind
Yeah.
of not the conversation that you just finish and it's like, oh, I'd forgotten how much I love those. But and
That
also kind
warms
of
my heart.
speaking to somebody who kind of where you feel like, oh my God, like he operates, he functions just like me. You know, it's, I don't know, let's just go get all emotional. Yeah. It's rare.
Yeah, I was just
You
talking
know,
to
to be.
Nancy. She's been doing Nanny a lot. She does the office
to feel seen like that, you know, and to have that reflection. And there was something you said that where the thought isn't quite clear, but about something that let me build the best possible system, you know, because I'm just sort of literally at that, you know, starting to have a team to work with. And, you know, like, yes, that can only be as good as the systems you have in place. And to remember, like, oh, yeah, I actually love creating systems. So this isn't this, like, oh, God, like, I need to hand stuff over, which is kind of, has always been in the kind of, oh, God, I'm thinking I don't want to deal with buttons kind of thing. You know, like, it has told, like, from this conversation, there's this, like, oh, I'm all of a sudden now excited about, I get to get really creative to create these kick-ass systems to make that experience really smooth with these new people, you know, and that is like, oh, you know, like to kind of take something from, oh yeah, like, you know, I know it's necessary and I couldn't really be asked kind of thing to, ooh, this is exciting, which is very exciting.
I have to say, like, it's been amazing being in this space with you, and I do see you. And I'm appreciative that you allow me to see you, that and that you show up in like a fullness of you, right? Like one of the things I love about being around you is like nothing is like it's not hidden. You get what I'm saying? Like, and there's no apologies around it. Instead, it's just constantly celebrated. And like you're in great company. I look forward to all of our conversations because we're gonna be like, this is why I love this space here, where it's like we can just keep growing with each other just by being with each other and by seeing and recognizing and playing, and like we just, there's so much more combo to have, there's so much more like to explore. Yeah, like I got you, and I'm grateful that you play here, and I'm glad that we get to like start something here that will only continue to grow and flourish. I appreciate you, and I'm really, really grateful for you. Yeah.
Thank you.